4 o'clock hour. Little Hotline Bling. That was released by Drake on this day 10 years ago. A lot has gone on in the 10 years since Drake released this song. It was an easier time. Anyway, we're going to talk with Alex Dono this hour. Still watching MLB Network. I mean, nothing doing with the Marlins. 1 hour, 57 minutes left on the trade deadline. Normally, I wouldn't pay that much attention to the MLB trade deadline, but there's just such a, I thought, great chance of Sandy Alcantara being shipped away from the Marlins that I wanted to keep an eye on it. And there still is that possibility, obviously, over the next couple of hours. And Edward Cabrera as well, but Sandy would be the guy. How'd you like to see the Zac Brown Band at the Sphere in Las Vegas in December? Very easy to enter this contest. Just log on to the Odyssey app and listen to us here at WQAM for an hour or whatever you want to listen to on the Odyssey app, to be quite honest. And then for more chances, you listen every day and maybe you'll be the winner. The winner gets round trip airfare to Vegas, couple of tickets to see Zac Brown Band, and a two-night stay at the Venetian Resort in Las Vegas. Don't miss out. Log on to the Odyssey app now. A-U-D-A-C-Y is the app if you do not yet have it. It's a national contest. If you want more info, go to odyssey.com/Zac, Z-A-C. Special thanks to Messina Touring Group. Solana's with us from Uruguay. Crowder is at home in Davie. Hey. Jimmy and Dan are in the studios in Miami. We're going to talk with Alex Dono today, who is at Hurricanes camp practice. I don't know if you saw. There were a couple interesting things, Crowder, that I saw from Kevin Clark at ESPN. He's been doing his training camp tour. Did you see the revelation that Mike Tomlin gave him?
Oh, Rodgers?
Rodgers. Oh, you're talking about Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah.
No, Mike Tomlin revealed something about himself to Kevin Clark. It had nothing to do with Aaron Rodgers. Revealed something about himself.
What did he say?
He is a big Sudoku guy.
Oh, Jesus Christ, Mike.
It was...
I love Mike. Mike Tomlin.
No. He was, man, like 40 seconds. I got to find the tweet, but he said, because Kevin Clark had asked him something that would surprise people about him. And he said he loves Sudoku and crosswords. He's a puzzler, he says. And he used to fight with his mom over who would get the crossword puzzle in the newspaper that day. But we always joke about Adam Gase having been the Sudoku guy. It was Mike Tomlin along.
It's a difference because Adam Gase plays Sudoku during the third quarter. I think Mike Tomlin plays it in his own time.
Fair. Yeah. And then the other thing that I saw from Kevin Clark today at ESPN, this made me such a huge fan. John Harbaugh is in a Wordle group chat with 17 Harbaugh family members. They only on that thread talk about Wordle, and Jim Harbaugh is involved in their Wordle thread as well.
Yeah. He seemed like a Wordle guy.
Yeah. There's nothing better than Wordle, Dordle, Quartle, Octordle, and Cedacordle.
Oh, this Cedacordle. I think this is cultural.
Ryan and I from Funky Buddha, we still play for money every day.
And Jim Harbaugh and you and Ryan are white.
That's right. Mike Tomlin, he's playing Sudoku.
I play Toy Blast and Car Match. I like the little puzzle games as well, but
simple games. You like simple games.
Let me get three red cars next to each other and they disappear. Yeah. I don't want to see what this thing does and four letter words. I'm good.
I like to exercise the brain.
Bro,
that
you know,
I don't fall asleep at the beginning of the show.
I'm on level 11,000 in Toy Blast, so you keep that to yourself, big homie.
Do you know Crowder missed the first minute of today's show because he fell asleep?
Solana, I was asleep.
Why are you taking naps?
I didn't want this. Great is point. What this Great is point. What puzzles me. I didn't want to take a nap. I had to wake up early with Chan because he had a doctor's appointment. Then I had to go and I had to schedule all this stuff. So anyway, I had a long morning and it's like 1:15. I'm like, I'm going to lay down and watch some ESPN. And at like 1:59, Asia came and shook me. She was like, hey, it's almost 2. And I was like, what? I was asleep.
So if she wasn't home, do you think you may have slept through like the first hour of the show?
I don't know how long I would have slept. The crate, like this, that's why I got on. I was puzzled. I was like, man, my bad. I'm embarrassed almost that I went to sleep at 1:15 in the afternoon. I'm getting old, man.
That's why you need to play Wordle,
right?
And Dordle, Quartle, Octordle, and Cedacordle. Because if you have a moment of free time, you don't just lay down on the couch. You open up the phone and you play Wordle, Dordle, Quartle, Octordle, or Cedacordle.
At about 1:15 today, when I laid on that couch, you think I would say, let me see what Cedacordle has going on.
That's right. Yeah. Exercise no that chance. Brain. That you fall asleep with the pork rinds in one hand and sprees in the other.
What I eat today? Oh, no, I had me some chicharrón and a Mellow Yellow.
Really? Mellow Yellow?
Yeah, it was on sale. You know how I roll. Yeah. It was on sale, so I got
a Mellow Yellow drink.
I got a Mellow Yellow and some chicharrones.
I love Mellow Yellow. Oof, you ever had Mellow Yellow? Man.
Unhealthy.
You ever had that? Yeah.
I never had a Mellow Yellow before. Yeah.
Dan, you've had Mellow Yellow, I bet, right? You remember when that came out?
Of course. Yeah. It was in that Days of Thunder movie. That's when I first found out about it. And then
my God, it was in Days of Thunder. That's like, a great call.
Mom, I got to drink some Mellow Yellow. So I drink Mellow Yellow. It's just full of sugar.
Mellow. It is like so laden with sugar and caffeine. I haven't had one in 100 years because they don't make it in the zero version. If they had Mellow Yellow Zero, then I would drink that.
77 grams of sugar, 153% of sugar you need in the day.
77 grams of sugar? Holy mackerel.
I drank a whole one, and this is the buy one, get one free one, so I have the second one with me right now.
Oh, my God. You're drinking 150 grams of sugar today?
Yeah, man. I told you I'm working on this diabetes thing.
That's why you're falling asleep.
Your body's in a coma.
You weren't sleeping. You were in a coma.
I'm working on this diabetes thing, man.
You're in
I'm
a sugar coma.
77 grams.
They do sell Mellow Yellow zero sugar.
They do?
Yes, they do.
Oh, where could I possibly get Mellow Yellow Zero?
It's called water.
I need this. Am I going to have to order this in from Amazon or something?
You probably have to.
They have Mellow Yellow Zero?
Zero sugar, yep.
Oh, I am so in on that.
Not a significant source of fiber, vitamin D, calcium, iron, or potassium. Really? I appreciate it, Mellow Yellow.
How come you drink Mellow Yellow? Potassium.
Thanks, Mellow Yellow. I appreciate it.
Wow. No cramps. They do have it in zero. I didn't realize it was a Coca-Cola drink.
Yeah, it is. It was buy one, get one free. I'm never going to drink it again unless it's on sale. So chicharrones were $7. Mellow Yellow, $1.89. Buy one, get one free. Man, two Mellow Yellows and chicharrones for $9? Oh, man, that was a deal.
I don't know. I kind of feel ripped off, though, if I were to buy Mellow Yellow Zero, because it's a black can. There's just a touch of yellow in the writing there. Oh, like, isn't that part of the fun of Mellow Yellow is that it was this bright yellow can?
The bottle's yellow.
Yeah.
And you're also not a fan of black.
Cans, which is why I'm not going to Magic City. That's a funny joke. Sometimes a joke just comes together in real time and you see it happening.
Oh, manifests. All we've talked about Magic City. You got to go to Magic City.
What am I gonna do with Magic City?
Oh, you're gonna walk in there normal, like. Where do we go? We talk about? We go down off 95, the shake spot that you endorse. We've been to Cheetah before, right?
Wait, no, but yeah, no. Hawk, Cheetah is different than Magic Cheetah City. Before. I can Hawk, Magic been City to Cheetah. In the heart of Atlanta. No. Where Lou Williams has a table waiting for him is not exactly my crowd.
We have been to Magic City with Dr. Chuck. I don't want to put everybody's business out there, but we were there. Like, we sat there and enjoyed ourselves.
The Cheetah. Yeah. Now, if I was in Atlanta with you and I went to Magic City, that's fine. I'm not walking into Magic City with the ticket wizard and saying table for two, please.
You don't say table for two. Walk in. Give
Already,
them 30.
See?
Walk in, give them their $15 cover, 30 for you and Barry. Y'all walk in, go sit at the bar, have a drink. Yeah. It's going to be some beautiful women of color that walk up to you. Y'all flirt
happened.
A little bit.
I know get what you happened. A little it's dance. Like me getting into that Uber, saying it gets sticky around here. No one understands what I'm saying.
Don't try to use black words at Magic City.
Well, just then I really am going to stick out like a sore thumb.
Just be yourself, Hawk.
Mm-mm. I'm going to World of Coke. Listen, and getting a Mellow Yellow Zero.
If you are throwing money, you can have the putt-putt conversation. You can have the Girl Scout cookie conversation.
Well, that's the thing. I have to buy myself credibility in there, which I don't feel like doing. Because I could be the most popular person in Magic City if I go on a Friday afternoon at 11 in the morning.
Get you 500 ones and watch how great your conversations are.
Oh, white boy, Mellow Yellow. Yeah, now that you say it, I've heard of it.
Did white boy over here talking about putt-putt?
All right, let's do headlines here for the 4 o'clock hour with Daniel Day. We're going to talk some Miami Hurricanes with Alex Dono. Headlines are brought to you by Doral Kia. I have the wrong liner up on my sheet today, and I keep going back in time. Doral Kia, choose from over 500 new Kia models in inventory like the Sportage, Sorento, and Telluride. Remember, when it comes to Kia, the great deals are at Doral Kia.
The Hurricanes held their first practice of the year for this season today, and the ACC media have voted, and they have them finishing second in the conference behind Clemson.
Oh, all right. Okay. I was saying, Solana, at the beginning of the show, I have like this weird optimism for the Hurricanes and the Dolphins this season. And I know, you know, everybody does that at the beginning of the season, but I really do. I said it with Clay. I feel like people are sleeping on the Dolphins' talent. I really do. And I'm acknowledging that there's a secondary issue. But like I said to Clay, if you're just going to point out whatever their glaring issue is and go, well, that's the most important thing, I think that kind of skews the plot line a little bit. But I'm also just having listened to John Michaels talk about Carson Beck and watching Carson Beck handle himself at Media Day. I not only do I have enthusiasm and optimism for both football teams, let me ask you guys this. And I know Mario Cristobal is not going anywhere because of the contract and the amount of money and the length of time. But we are very quick to point out Mike McDaniel's on the hot seat. Mario's going into what? His fourth season?
Fourth or fifth?
Is there a point where, hey, I know you coached up the number one overall draft pick in the NFL. You've got legit talent coming in and out of the program again. But is there a point where he's on the hot seat?
I don't think at this point, Hawk, because he's made over Al Golden, over these last guys, he's made UM relevant again.
There's no results.
It might have just been, I was just going to say, Hawk, it might have just been the transfer portal that made him relevant again. But he's made, like you said, number two in the ACC this year. It's funny to me that Clemson is number one. That's crazy to me because Clemson was terrible. But they probably got some transfers in. But I would say I don't think Mario Cristobal is on any hot seat right now.
Well, Clemson won the ACC. As bad as their season was last year, They won the ACC. They got into the college football terrible. Playoff.
They lose to.
They lost to Georgia.
Yeah. Right. And I think they scored like 3 points. They scored like 3 points. They didn't score a touchdown or they couldn't score against Georgia. But like at the end of the day, like the Hurricanes have never won the ACC. Hawk, I'm not that far away from where you're at, and it's year four. Here's why. The Canes have shown that they're willing, the University of Miami has shown that they're willing by going out and getting Mario Cristobal to invest resources, money into the football program. And look, man, like Mario, since he's been here, it's only gone upwards. They won 10 games. It's gone upwards each year from losing to Middle Tennessee, whatever. But at the end of the day, like, hey, they brought you here to win the ACC, to compete for the ACC. And you won 10 games, but you have nothing to show for it. As you're saying, maybe, you know, if this year goes worse, why not say, hey, we'll keep investing resources, but maybe you're not the right guy.
Right, but they're tied into him for so much money that he's not going anywhere. I'm saying almost like a magical hot seat, like not a real hot seat because he's not going anywhere. But I wonder when that conversation begins to happen.
If they don't win the ACC soon, but I don't even know if this year. But
Cam Ward last season, but you just sputtered to the finish.
Think about that. Think about how happy y'all would be as Canes fans. And I'm a secret Canes fan. We came to that conclusion on the show. I know. Think about how happy Canes fan would be to finally win the ACC. But Mike McDaniels, to go back, he has to win an NFL playoff game. Winning the ACC is so much easier.
It should be, except they've been unable to do it. Like, I'm with you. Like,
and the damn Dolphins have been unable to win their
right.
Damn
winning a playoff years. Game, you would think in a quarter of a century wouldn't be the most difficult task in the world, and it has been for them. But I'm kind of with you there. Hurricanes win the ACC, I'm thrilled. Dolphins win a playoff game, I'm thrilled.
And that's the thing. I think winning a playoff game is head and shoulders harder than winning the ACC. The ACC? Come on now, fellas. I don't want to badmouth y'all's conference, but
it's a better conference than the SEC, if you want to be honest. SEC is loaded with garbage.
There's a couple of top-heavy teams,
but the rest is garbage.
Top heavy. Y'all are top and bottom garbage.
But I don't understand. I don't understand what you're doing there, where you go the ACC the way you say it, like settle down. And also, ACC? I don't know if winning a playoff game is tougher than winning the ACC. I honestly don't. Like, Mike McDaniel has given himself two opportunities to win a playoff game. The Miami Hurricanes haven't been to an ACC championship game, they've been to one. Since they joined the ACC and they got rocked by Clemson, like they've been to one. So I don't know, man. Like, at least the Dolphins are getting to the playoffs.
It's such a lower bar than Mike McDaniels has. To win an NFL playoff game, that makes you what? One of the top, six teams? Because then so one of the top eight teams in your conference. And then, but you have the byes and all that stuff. That is harder than winning a league that has nobody in it. Football-wise, bro, Virginia Tech, Clemson, Georgia Tech. When's the last time you said, oh, this Georgia Tech football program is really rolling?
Have you seen Virginia Tech at home on a Thursday night, prime time? I mean, that place is rocking. You can't win in that place.
Rocking my ass.
Frank Beamer has that team, I mean, working.
Magic City's about a mile away from Georgia Tech's campus, Hawk.
Well,
you give me a section in Magic City and a front row at Georgia Tech, you know the way I'm going.
If you're a mile away from Magic City and you can't recruit, shame on them. Who's their coach?
By the way, Georgia Tech beat Miami last year. That was one of their losses.
That was at the end, right?
Yeah.
Duke, Louisville, Boston College, Tech, Pitt, North Carolina State, like Virginia. Like, come on, fellas. It's a lot harder to win an NFL playoff game than it is to win the damn ACC.
Somebody says, put your all money where your mouth is, bet the Fins and Canes overs, parlay them to make the playoffs. I might. I'm betting Finn's futures this season. I am. I told you.
It's so funny because the Dolphins play more games. I might bet the Finns to win more games than the Dolphins.
Ooh. Astros acquire Jesus Sanchez from the Marlins. Mm. Jesus Sanchez goes to the Astros.
Come on, Bendix. What's his name?
Peter.
Peter Bendix.
Jesus Sanchez hit a bomb last night, too, so hopefully we got a good haul.
Yeah, Barry Jackson confirming it. Can confirm, per source, Marlins acquire right-handed pitcher Ryan Gusto and two prospects from Houston for Jesus Sanchez. All right.
Chase Jaworski, the number 13 prospect in the Astros system. Damn, so we lost Jesus?
But we got the Gusto.
Hey, there we go.
Victor Bermudez pointing out only six SEC schools have won the national championship since 1964. It's exactly what I'm talking about. Top heavy. The rest of your conference is Vanderbilt.
How many SEC teams have won since then, Vic? He always wants to put out some BS stats.
Yeah, Georgia won it like seven times in a row. Doesn't make them BS.
No, they all BS. Just don't like the stats. I'm going to text Xavier Edwards.
Why?
I don't know, because it's trade deadline.
Right. Well, don't make him nervous by getting a text from a number he doesn't know.
You know what? I went through our text thread. It's mostly me.
All right, give me the rest of the headlines because Donald's going to join us.
Well, Jesus Sanchez is an Astro, so good.
There you go.
Breaking news right there. Got Ryan Gusto. So now we have a pitcher with the last name of Junk and another one with Gusto. Got to buy some jerseys now. Goodness.
Yeah.
A lot of good names. Oh, Panthers. Jonah Gajovic had his day with the Stanley Cup and brought it back to his childhood ice rink in Whitby, Ontario, Canada.
Someone from the league travels with them, right? When they go somewhere with the cup, there's always a cup representative with the league.
He came here one time, the keeper of the cup.
Yeah.
He said his life is not that awesome. He said, I'm away
from keeper of the cup.
He said, I'm 50 days at home in Toronto. The rest of the time, I'm basically babysitting this cup. He was very candid off the air.
That's funny.
Very candid off the air. It's like, so you like your job? He's like, yeah. I'm a hockey. He really said, I'm a hockey fan. So there you go.
Man, you gotta run them streets.
Imagine having to sit in the other room when, you know, craziness is going on with the cup.
Well, that's the thing. Like, you're literally a babysitter because no one's just taking a quiet day with the cup.
Think about it. You're going to bars, you're going to restaurants, you're just
right, but
you're living
just
life with everyone else.
Yeah, but it's just young guys acting out because they got something that everyone else in their profession wants. And so, you know, and everyone's trying to outdo the next person with whatever they do to the cup. Wow. And the guy's like, doesn't anybody just want to take the cup to a movie? Let's go. Then the cup want to see Superman.
I will put in my resume. Is it monster.com? I'll put in my resume on that because that seems like a fun job.
Being keeper of the cup?
Yes.
Yeah, for like a year or so. And then you're just with another young drunk guy trying to defile the cup in some way. And your job, by the way, is to prevent them from doing whatever to the cup.
That was
they
a young drunk dude and an old drunk dude running around with the cup. Seems like,
well, you're not going to be the keeper of the cup very long if that's the track you're taking.
Shouldn't they lighten up on the restrictions on the cup? Like, wouldn't it add to the lore of the cup if there's just dents everywhere and like scuff marks on it? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I think
it just would be lost somewhere. If there was no keeper of the cup to keep it in order, I think that, like, on the third guy, no one would be able to find the cup.
Yeah.
If it was scuffed up, if it was marked up, if it was messed up, you went to a Flanagan's, go see the cup, and you see some raggedy cup that's beat up? That's what you want?
I lost a Hummer one time, so there's a guarantee I could lose a Stanley.
Yeah, there's no chance you'd keep an eye on the cup.
Yeah, you wake up in your living room and your car's not out front, the Stanley Cup don't got a chance.
With that being said, let's just do weather. It's around 90 degrees, and you got a chance of rain because there's heat and clouds. That's your weather.
All right, Alex Dono, from Locked On Canes. He's going to join us. He was at the Canes' first practice today. He's going to join us in the next segment, so do not go anywhere.
You're listening to the Hawk, Crowder, and Solana Show.
50% of the time I stay in hotels, I clog the toilet.
We ever give this to DBJ, Solana? Doc, 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 Dr. Beat. Doc, 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 Dr. Beat.
Nah, I don't think we have, Hawk.
Let's give this to him this season. Yeah. Write down Gloria Estefan, Dr. Beat, an all-time banger. Alex Dono is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Alex Dono is the host of the wildly popular Locked On Canes podcast, and he also fills in for us occasionally. He will be filling in for me tomorrow, since I'll be on my way to Atlanta to see my beloved AFC Bournemouth Cherries in the Premier League friendly.
And Miss Cherry.
West Ham. I'm not going to see Miss Cherry because I'm not going to Magic City. I'm only going to see Bournemouth and their cherries. Follow Dono on Twitter for all your latest Canes news and notes at Alex Dono on social media. Hello, Dono.
Hawk, hello. Thank you for having me. How are you?
How many Aperol spritzes did you drink when you were in Italy for 7 months this summer?
It was 1 to 2 per night, if I'm being honest. I was rotating between Aperol spritz and also Campari spritz, which is a little stronger. So I was kind of limping around Italy, if you know what I mean.
Aperol spritz is the drink of the summer, correct? It's having a resurgence. Yeah.
Well, especially because you need something cool and refreshing in Italy, because there's no air conditioning in the entire country. So you're walking around in the summer and it's hot outside. There's not enough shade. There's no AC anywhere. So you just kind of sit and drink spritzes everywhere. That's just sort of how you get through the day.
That's how good it is, Crowder. That's how good it is. It replaces air conditioning. Aperol spritz.
Replaces air conditioning.
That's right. That's what Donald just said. Aperol spritz is so we've had some disputes on this show, Donald, because I love an Aperol spritz, and since I started talking about it, it's really started to blow up. And obviously you saw it in Italy all over the place. But Crowder tried one, didn't like the taste of it. Terrible. What are you looking at? Is that Donald?
This is Donald. I texted him probably a month ago or a couple months ago. I'm in FedEx. I'm about to do FedEx, and I see Dono pop up on a big screen TV, and it was a part of the FanDuel ACC network thing. And I'm like, damn, Dono surpassed us. He's on TV now.
Yeah, Dono's doing his thing, man. He's got.
I didn't even know I was on TV. Wow. Nobody told me.
Well, Dono, ask for some more money.
That's all the Aperol spritzes. Lost track of reality. You were in Italy for a long time, man.
Yeah, we were over there for 6 weeks. It was, I mean, we had some places to stay with family for part of the time we were over there. So it's not quite as expensive as it sounds. But yeah, it was too long. Next time, 2 or 3 weeks we go for it.
How many plates of spaghetti and meatballs did you have?
So you never pair meatballs with spaghetti over there. You eat them.
I'm not going to listen to this Italian slander.
You eat meatballs and or spaghetti. They're just not in the same plate.
That's the consummate Italian dinner is spaghetti and meatballs. You're telling me you didn't have it while in Italy? Shame on you.
Yeah, I mean, you could have meatballs for an appetizer, and then you get a plate of spaghetti. You just can't put them in the same plate, or they'll kick you out of the country.
What'd you have for lunch? A gabagool sandwich?
I had a few sandwiches. I think gabagool is New Jersey for capicola. I think it's what
it is.
That was originally.
That is, you are 100% correct. Yeah.
I had a lot of prosciutto.
Dono, is lasagna, is that American or is that like a big Italian dish?
Lasagna is Italian. I don't think they don't eat it as much as like Americans do over here, but you can find it at a lot of restaurants and stuff. It's pretty popular over there too.
Dono's like, I thought I was talking hurricanes. It's a kind of a busy day. I'm taking time out and I'm filling in on the show, but I have more Italian questions. So what's closer to actually being in Italy, Epcot, Italy or Olive Garden?
I'm I'm going to say Epcot because they do have like this exchange program where they have actual Italian people working.
Oh, exchange program. Those kids are from.
Yeah. No, I mean, they've got convincing accents. So I think they're really from Italy over there.
And now, go back on the next weekend, Olive Garden, that same guy's working in Mexico. He grew up in Guadalajara.
Dono.
All right, let me
it's
get it.
Raheem serving me at Benihana's. You want some rice, bro? I don't want rice.
Let me get into the Hurricanes question. I'm just goofing with Dono here. So you were at practice today. What are some of your initial thoughts as we're now exactly 1 month away from opening night? Did you notice today, or is it too early to tell, of Carson Beck, say, being a team leader? Can he be that this quickly?
That was actually one of the big things that I did notice. You know, everybody knows you should know the context of first practice. Pads are not on, so, you know, there's not live hitting. There's only so much you can take from it. But I thought Carson Beck doing the leadership stuff, I thought it was noticeable today. You know, after every drill, after certain plays, like you see him take, you know, whether it be one of his fellow quarterbacks aside or a couple times even he would be, you know, clearly talking with receivers and one of the running backs, just kind of talking through the route, like what he saw on a play, what they did on a play, which I think is it's a great thing to see. You know, obviously last year having covered Cam Ward, we all know he was really big on that stuff. But, you know, over the years I've been quarterbacks who maybe weren't all that good with the extracurriculars. But I've been pleasantly surprised with Beck. You know, I had the chance to meet him for the first time at ACC Media Days last week, you know, getting to chat with him at Miami Media Day yesterday and at practice today. And he seems to be fully in tune with the playbook, and he's a lot more of a vocal leader than I expected. Because if you listen to what people were saying about him coming out of Georgia, it just kind of painted this picture like he's just sort of a guy through the motions. At least that's the way I kind of took some of the stuff they were saying. That's not the impression I get from him at all.
No, that means something. I'm not downplaying the off the field side of it, but you were one of the people when Cam Ward came in. We have a montage of me questioning, like, bro, this little kid from Washington State that couldn't even start there, and he comes in. You told me, Gino told me, DBJ told me, Josie told me, past all the cute stuff, y'all were like, he can throw that football. Is it the same feeling when you actually watch Carson Beck throw? Like when you actually watch Cam Ward throw that ball, because all y'all were like, Crowder, stop with the slander, because he could spin that damn thing.
Yeah, I'm not going to get too crazy because, you know, how many different times I watch Cam Ward, and I've watched Carson Beck throw like 25 times today. But with that said, you notice, like, he seems to have NFL caliber arm talent in terms of the velocity on the throws, being able to make every throw. He even said to us after practice today that his arm was like maybe even a little too juiced like early on, and then he kind of settled in because he hadn't, you know, thrown that much for months when he was recovering from the injury. He's fully recovered now, of course. But, you know, to answer your question in the best way that I can after one practice, you can tell the difference between Carson and the other quarterbacks, right? And, you know, all the other quarterbacks, you have some potential, they have some things they do well, but when Beck, they're going through these drills. We were watching a lot of one-on-ones and seven-on-sevens during the media viewing today. He's got pop in his throws, and he's got accuracy, and he's got good command over the middle of the field. And so, you know, if I'm going to truly make a Cam Ward comparison, I've got to watch, you know, probably another dozen practices, but you can see that the talent is there. So I don't think he's necessarily as far away from what Ward was, as, you know, some people might think.
Hey, Donald, on that note, though, like the guys he's throwing to, I mean, the Hurricanes had to replace Xavier Restrepo, maybe one of the greatest wide receivers in Hurricanes history. And then Elijah Arroyo goes to the NFL. Isaiah Horton is gone also. What's the deal here? I know there's three transfers. But is Joe Trader, like, is he going to be wide receiver number one? Like, how does this stack up? How does that, the wide receiver group, look in your opinion?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a little bit more of a committee approach than it was last year. Like last year was very top heavy. They had basically four receivers that they used in three spots, you know, with Restrepo never really leaving the field, but then rotating like three guys for two outside spots. I think they have more depth this year in terms of how deep they're going to go in the depth chart at receiver. You know, of course, we're going to need to see talent emerge because they had a couple guys who really popped last year, you know, specifically Isaiah Horton, who transferred to Bama, and then Restrepo and Jacoby George, who are off to the NFL. But, you know, I'm glad you brought up JoJo Traynor because to me, going even back to spring, he's looked to me like he's probably going to emerge as the top guy. And one of the things we noticed today was it seemed like he and Beck like happened to be matched up a lot for the one-on-one drills. Beck was often throwing to Traynor. Maybe that was a coincidence. I don't necessarily think it was a coincidence. JoJo has really been someone who is he's been kind of the shining star of that group going back to the spring. You know, they CJ Daniels transferred in. You mentioned a few guys coming in. Daniels has also shown some good stuff at times. He's a six-year guy. Was at LSU last year? Was at Liberty before that? There's two other transfer receivers that were practicing with Miami for the first time today because they came after the spring. Keelan Marion, really fast from BYU, and Tony Johnson, who is, I think, one of like the committee of guys who's going to fill in for Restrepo. I think they'll use two and three guys in the slot. And then there's even a couple of true freshmen that I wonder how much they're going to play their first year. You know, Malachi Toney was the biggest story of spring football, or one of the biggest stories that kind of took over the spring game. He's, you know, extremely shifty and quick. And, you know, Ray Joseph, who's been with the program for a few years, is going to get some opportunities there. You know, you mentioned Elijah Arroyo, the tight end who moved on to the NFL. There's another Elijah Lofton, who I think is probably going to become the number one target there. So I kind of what I've been saying all offseason about the receivers and the tight ends is I think the potential and the talent is there, but you just don't really know until you know. I know Carson has been working a lot with those guys going back to, you know, I mean, mental reps back in the spring, but since he's been cleared to throw from early May on, I know he's been doing a lot of off-schedule workouts and player-run practices with these guys. So to me, it's just a question of being able to build the chemistry and then hoping that, you know, Kevin Beard, the wide receivers coach, can help guys like JoJo Traynor and Nai Carr, some of the other younger receivers, just really develop and develop quickly because they're replacing virtually all of their receiver production from last year.
Alex Dono, make sure you follow Locked On Canes, follow Dono on social media, and listen to him tomorrow. He's going to be filling in for us on this very program from 2 till 6. We appreciate your time, Dono, and appreciate you putting up with our nonsense, but we had a lot of Italy questions, and I'm glad we covered them all.
Oh, I love it, and you made me hungry for Olive Garden, so I might have to look out for that tonight.
Well, get yourself some breadsticks and Aperol Spritz. No. There's really no greater Italian pairing than that.
Amen to
that.
Go to
Olive Garden, Dono.
See you, Dono.
All right, the Carrabba's night. I'll talk to you guys later.
Macaroni Ciao. Grill. Yeah. All right, 5 o'clock, Funky Buddha happy hour is coming up, which means 1 hour left on the trade deadline for MLB. They were just showing some of the biggest trade prospects still available on MLB Network. Obviously, Sandy Alcantara is up there, so we will keep an eye on that.
This is Hawk, Crowder, and Solana.
Got a horse running at Saratoga? Give me anything. You got a lottery ticket? You got some numbers? What do you got?